Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings and hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You have your Omeka 7 live coming to you straight from my living room. And I don't know if we're having technical difficulty, but we're going to play our regular song.
Well, Mother is a message. Got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
once again, family, welcome to the Care to Read Room. You have your Omi Inca 7 live coming to you right from my studio. And I'd like to say Habari Ghani to those new friends. Come in and have a sit down. And I'd like to say what's up to my old friends. And how are the children? I hope they are fair to Midland. And once again, welcome to another day in the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omi Inca 7 here. I am your advocate, the one you need. I am your advisor, the one you want. And I am your emperor. I am here to serve you, whatever you like. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to take you into another version of Helping Babies from the Bench. As we have been talking as a group, talking about male treatment of infants in the court system, how the lawyers and the attorneys and the judges can be informed about what are best practices for baby and what they can do to help alleviate further abusing the child as the child goes through the system. We've been talking about that all month this month, and if you attorneys are out there and you are specialists in the area of family child care or in the area of family law, and if you are social workers, advocates out there, physical therapists, guardian ad litem, and also if you work with the court systems with the baby under CASA, call in today. We would definitely like to talk to you. We've been trying to gather all those experts and professionals in one area, in one room, to discuss the profession of working with babies who come to the system that are maltreated. Now, our phone lines are open now. We are now officially on the air, and our phone number here is 646-478-0270. And we'd like to welcome each and every one of you. And we also have a segment of our show that we do entitled Always Sisters. And that segment today will be a discussion about the challenges that a caregiver faces, the caregiver in a child development setting, at work, as well as those behavior therapists who's coming into the home or going to the center to treat the child, and as well as the parents. What challenges do they face when they have a special needs child in their care? What are some of the challenges? If you'd like to call in and give us your input, we'd definitely like to encourage you to talk about that. And what could impact and change the life of the parent if the conditions were a lot easier for the parent. We know that the parent needs to have timeout periods, and they also need to have special babysitters, and they now have programs called the sitters that they can result to having the various different people come into their home that are trained in special needs that know exactly what to do for those children who are challenged. Now, we'll be talking about that in a second. And we're also going to be talking a little bit from a perspective of who those attorneys are out there with those special trainings. And if they are out there, we'd like for them to call in, and we'd like for them to give their input. And under our health awareness section, we will be talking about the emotional health flags that go up for the babies. What are some of the things that you will notice, and what are some of the signs for a maltreated infant and toddler? And we like to engage your minds and to also and let you know that this is a cultural centered heritage room where we focus in on not only our heritage and customs and tradition, but we focus in on the spirit. And that is why we have a part of our show called In the Spirit. And I do mean exactly that, in the spirit. Now, we're trying to get you into another level, another atmosphere. If you didn't know it, there are a number of us who are busy working on quantum jumping. Now, don't let me get started on that topic, because that is for the next month, and that is where we're going to take you into some metaphysical stages of your life and help you to understand that you're more than one-dimensional. That's right, and quantum jumping is real. It does exist, and I want to take you into that segment next month where we're going to be talking about living in the spirit world and living from your frame of consciousness, and we're going to be constantly working in the spirit for those professionals out there who are coaches that would like to know more about how to brush your skills up and how to develop your skills in the metaphysical world. That's what we're going to be talking about. So we're going to introduce you to a little bit of those segments this week. We hope to have some specialists to come in to address the topics of metaphysics and understanding what an out-of-body experience is. Oh, don't think that I'm strange and I'm out of my mind. I might not be in your mind, but I definitely am in my right mind. But, yes, we're going to be talking about out-of-body experiences for those spiritualists who know exactly what I'm talking about. Why don't you raise up both your hands? And for those people who do meditate on a regular basis, not when I open up this room, of course, only, but someone who meditates on a regular basis, who might go into meditation periodically when they're engaged in a conversation, who know how to put themselves in a trance. Most priests and priestesses have all been trained about how to be able to put themselves in a trance and also how to become possessed. So these are things that we're taught as a priestess, and these are some of our tools that we use to assist us, as well as helping us to become energy healers, to send vibrations and frequencies across the airwaves to send the energy to lift someone up out of their dead state. And that's what we've been talking about in here throughout the year, is how to lift you up to another state and how to reconnect with your ancestors to help you do just that. And that's why every day, or every four days in this room, we are attempting to change your level of consciousness. And no matter how much you want to have a form of godliness and talk about all the times you do prayer and how many times you go to church and how many veils you wear and how holy and sanctimonious you are, it doesn't amount to anything unless you change someone's life. And all these formalities, they're a form of godliness. And I want you to know, yes, as a Christian person, and the foundation that I had was in Christianity, I was lost too. But I had to come out of that foolishness, arguing over what form of the scriptures were correct, the New King James Version or the New International. Now when I look back on that, I see how dumb it really was. Because all we're doing are flexing our muscles and trying to appear to be more sanctimonious than the next person. It doesn't amount to anything, people, because we have to still live in this body today. And there's some problems and complications that we can't address as it is, taking care of our financial business, handling our responsibility in the family. These are the main things that need to be addressed. People need immediate issues for take-home purposes to use today. Who cares if you are right about all the scriptures that were in the New Testament or which one you don't use in the Old Testament? People can get so caught up in this mutilated book that they don't have time to live. And I did say mutilated because it's partially completed. And for anybody that don't like what I'm saying, come in here and challenge me, because you are wasting people's time talking about issues that have already been taken care of. Peter, Paul, and John, and Mark took care of all those issues. You need not reinvent them. They were for their time. We're looking for something for our time now. Now, if you can remember, they also used something called metaphysics, and they were able to go and get their tax money out of the fish's mouth when they needed that filthy lucre, and they didn't have to look around for unemployment and disability to get their money. They knew where to go get their money because they were in the metaphysic realm, and they could create money if they wanted to. And Jesus was rich. Yes, he was. He was rich. Rich in all aspects of even the garment that he wore. There was no seam, not one seam in the garment, they tell me, that he wore, indicating that his garment and fabric was very rich and expensive. And if you know, he was getting alabaster oil rubbed on his feet. He was getting some of the best oil that took a whole year's salary to pay for on his feet. So let's stop talking ignorant and talking as if we have poor spirits and start living abundantly and rich and above our circumstances. So therefore, we are the living epistle. There was no book created for the African to read to learn how to have good character and good conduct. Good character and good conduct came up out of the African. We were the caller to prayer. We called everyone else to come into the courtyard to pray, just like I'm going to do for you today. There was no book that could contain all of the massive substance that God had, and his essence could not be contained in one book. And whatever made us think that we could carry one book and have all of God's essence in it? Let's reason together today. Let's come together and reason. I am so sick and tired of going in these rooms where people are cross-exchanging all of these doctoral teachings of our fathers and looking at the fact that we don't even have the minute things such as good character and good conduct. And if we turn our backs fast, somebody is already stealing from the next person. If we can get the basic things together, how to treat one another, how to be in love with one another, and how to handle each other when we have had a cross discussion, and how to forgive one another. But we are so busy thinking ourselves to be so astute and so important that we're always ready to look for the underdog to put our feet on. Well, I tell you one thing. You don't expect to come in here putting your feet on anybody. All people are level at the cross in this room. And it's very important that we teach you how to become spiritual. So when all else fails, you can have good conduct and good character. If we start taking the time to teach good character and good conduct in these rooms, we wouldn't have all of these massive criminals running around here perpetrating a fraud and calling themselves a denomination. God didn't give you denomination. Man gave you that denomination. He wanted you to know him in spirit and in truth. And you must understand, spirit is eternal. You get to know God eternally forever, and you will live forever. But if you place your hope in the arms and legs of a man, they will fail you every time. So when you see someone that is acting outside of their conduct and falling below the level of a prudent human being, you know at that point that there is some characteristic in their traits that hasn't been developed. So therefore, you need to take them back to a level of developing their traits. And this is a comedic teaching. You cannot stop a person from stealing by saying, and I'm going to shame you and make you feel bad, because that part of their character may have not been developed. You have to go back to that character building to develop that trait in that person so that they'll understand they don't put their hands on other people's things. And those are character traits that are taught through the African tradition. And this is not something you would find just taught in a religion or a denomination. It is part of a culture. And someone once said, well, I don't want to put my hope in a culture because cultures can vary and they can change. Yes, they can. But traditions of your fathers can also be warped. And if you continue to use the traditions of your father, you're going to be lost. And that is why so many women are two steps behind their black men, wearing a veil, veiled all up like they are out of their mind, and listening to someone telling them they're less than they are, knowing that we are the spiritual side of God. Why would you subject yourself to that type of lifestyle, knowing that you are a God woman and God has favored you? So why would you let anyone suppress you? I am sick and tired of these religions. I do not profess and claim a religion. I ask people to become Soluvius diversity, where you embrace your culture and spend time getting to know your black selves, and not wasting time being tied to another form of slavery. Religion enslaves you. They enslave you to their traditions of their fathers. They are not real. They are made up protocols that men have created to titillate themselves, to make themselves feel good. If you notice, when they can tell a woman when she can pray and when she cannot pray, and how holy she can be in the church and where she can sit in the church, then that has gone too far. Someone should have enough sense to know that this is not what God said to do. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He didn't say because man is holy. He said he was the only one holy. And there's no good thing about your flesh. Not one good thing. It's desperately wicked. And who can know it? So every day you are to be bringing it up under subjection, living the cultural life, living the African-centered life. If you're African, then you don't have to worry about your religion. Your customs and traditions will make room for your religion. It will actually create your philosophy. And out of your culture, your religion will spring up. And we don't call it a religion. We call it a way of life. And if you are doing too much with religion, it will soon show. And you will be nothing more than a religiosity person who has no heart, has no love, and has no desire to step over and help your brother and sister. Love, hope, faith, and charities, but the greatest of these is love. You don't have to read a book to learn about where love is. You don't have to read a book to tell you that stealing from your brother and sister is wrong. You have to live a custom and a tradition and a lifestyle and have a way of life. So to those of you who are spending time in these rooms arguing back and forth about who's doing what in these religions and how it's shaming you and how they've got the wrong description of what God left you for, God didn't leave you religion. He would not bind you or tie you to anything. He didn't give you religion. Man needed a road map, and man sought out to create religion. Don't be confused, and please don't get it twisted. You might not ever like me, but you're going to respect me because I'm going to command it of you. So you're not going to get me in these rooms to argue back and forth about what is right in religion and what is wrong. Common sense tells you what to do and how to live in harmony. You do not need a book to tell you this. And you do not need to be walking around looking odd and weird and looking docile as if you are standing out. Elijah Muhammad did not want us standing out looking different so that we could be a target. So common sense will tell you, you don't put on things that's going to draw attention to yourself. So there, yes, I am Islamic because I'm one who submit. But I don't have to go around telling everyone I'm Islamic. There's things in Islam that I love. There's things in Christianity that I love. I'm solidified in Christ, so therefore I'm Christian. I'm also African spiritualist because I believe in the spirit. You can be all of those things and be everything to every man and woman and take the best that the religion has to offer. Do not let the religion control you, lest you become centered in confusion. Because there's no way out of you being confused because the book is incomplete, because someone has tampered with the material and there are chapters left out. So how could you have the full counsel? So I think that's all that I'm going to say on the topic today. But I do want our people as black people to wake up and know that you've been given a morphine. You've been given an opium. An opium, just as the church was given to you as an opium. Now religion is given to you as an opium. And as drugs have been given to you, it's no different. Don't become addicted to anything. Acknowledge Oludulamare, the God of this universe. Acknowledge your higher self, Ori. Acknowledge your ancestors and commune and pay homage to them. And on this, I say Paul, Peter, Mark, and John will take care of themselves. And the customs that they had in that life has been utilized. You ought to be coming up with new customs and traditions for this lifetime. And we're wasting far too much time doing what has already been taken care of. Now, the book that I read said that we would do greater things than Jesus did, and I'm looking for the miracles. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for the metaphysic miracles where I can go inside of a fish's mouth and to pay every bill I have. I'm looking to go in the universe and call forth the winds to be and to call the rains and the elements into being and speak to them and say, peace be still. I'm looking to go into a room full of people that are ill and lay hands and they cease from being ill and getting on the phone and sending my energy waves across the airways and speaking to them and say, rise up and speak to the blood, because he said greater things that we will do. He didn't say for us to go in some book and to quarrel over what was right and wrong. He said greater things that we would do and that signs and wonders would follow him who believed. And I want the signs and wonders to be following me right now as you follow me to a destiny and you follow me and take the lead and go forward and listen to the sound of my voice and know that God had to impress it upon me to give you what it is I'm saying. Now, I don't want to have to say this again. For those of you who asked me to follow you, you must be leading me somewhere. You must be taking me somewhere. I am a leader by nature, but I will follow because I know that it is important for you to serve first before you can be a leader. But I will not, I cannot waste time, because time is of essence now, and we are to be doing miracles in these rooms, performing and signs and wonders in these rooms. So stay still and stay tuned, because a miracle is about to happen. I don't know what you know, but I'm telling you that a miracle is about to happen, because God is using his people today to bring forth healing. And if there's one sick among you with palsy or has an issue of the blood, God is giving the signal for the energy waves to come into those vessels he's chosen, and he's sending the word to heal them. So if you're sick out there, and if you're out of your mind mentally, and you're weary, this is the place to be. You can tap into the energies today, because the frequencies are everywhere, and everything is a frequency. That is why you've heard me ask you to get in the spirit. Now take deep breaths and bring yourself into the spirit as you take yourself into meditation, and allow God's great spirit to take over you and begin to speak to your blood and tell it to line up with what the word of God said, that you're whole and you're complete, lacking and needing nothing, whole and complete. And if you are out there and you're tired of being sick and you're sick and tired of religion, you don't want to hear about these people that are massively displaying themselves inappropriately in the courtyard, all in the name of religion, then don't waste your time anymore listening to it. Get into the spirit and let God reveal all things to you for the end time, because you're going to need to have an ear and hear what the spirit has to say. But for those of you who don't know the spirit, you might miss this time. This time has been created only for those who have an ear to listen. So I said, tap into the spirit. There's somebody out there that don't want to go into the church arguing no more. There's somebody out there that don't want to hear the preacher preach that same sermon about dry bones no more. There's somebody that don't want to go in that church and jump up and down and pretend that they are healed no more. There's somebody that wants to be healed. And if you're that someone, then tap in to the spirit, because this is the place to be, because this time and hour, God is doing a new thing for his people. He's calling those ambassadors that he can use, and he's allowing them to create the frequency and vibration throughout the universe that will change each and every one of your heartbeats and your rhythm. We all have a frequency. Even in my voice, there's a frequency. And as I send this frequency out to you, you know who you are. Rise up and pick up your bed and walk. You know who you are. If you can't do anything but put your hands on the terminal, put your hands on the terminal and declare yourself healed. Rise up and be healed today. And there's no shortage of money. There's no shortage of gold and diamonds. Look around you. It's everywhere. Call the alchemy into being and call it to you. How can you make a rich man poor? If you take $1,000 from him, it's said that in a year's time, he will receive that money back. But if you take $1,000 and give it to a poor person, and then after they spend it, they won't get it back. They don't have the frequency for it. So get your vibes and frequency on alchemy today, so that your money problem will no longer cease to exist. And if you're sick with palsy and can't get well and have an issue of blood, then speak to the blood and tell the blood what to do. Tell it to line up and do what it is that God said it could do. Even though it is putrefied, you can speak to it and tell it to line up with what the word of God said. Now let us go over to the throne and let us get into position for meditation. Breathing in and out. Taking deep breaths in, inhaling the atmosphere, energy, and frequency of God. Notice that there's frequency all around you, and everything is vibrating. Even my voice is vibrating unto a certain point. Calming yourself down to a level that you can allow your virtue to go out to assist and aid others. It is nothing more than atoms your body is made of, and the atoms are full of frequency and vibration. And as we go over to the throne, let us go over and position our hands for receiving with your hands held up, allowing God to fulfill every one of your needs, knowing that you have not because you ask not. This is the hour and time to ask for what it is you want. If God's words be in you, and if you are in God's word, you have a right to go before the throne boldly. The dome has and the veil has been torn. You need not have a priest or minister to go before the throne. You can petition God on your own behalf. Now go before him boldly. Tell him what you want and what you need, and ask him to make you the head and not the tail. Ask him to make you an avatar so that you can receive from him. Ask him to allow you to vibrate your energies out into the universe so that you can begin to heal and to change the atmospheric pressures. As we go over, I'd like to wash my hands before I speak to my ancestors and to my mother and father spirit. I pour a glass of water for my father's spirit, and I like to say Ashe. Pour a glass of water for my mother's spirit, and I say Mother Ashe. I pour water to the ground so that wherever the water hits, it will become fertile and the word will spring up and grow in someone's heart. I pour libations to the north, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the south, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the east, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the west, and I say, Ashe. In Christ there is no evil way, in him no north or south, but one great fellowship of his love throughout the whole wide earth. Join hands, brothers and sisters of the race, whatever your religion, persuasion may be, then join my Father God as one, then you are surely kin to me. In Christ there is no east or west, in him, no north or south, but one great fellowship of his love throughout the whole wide earth. We've got to learn how to love one another. When will the world know we're all sisters and brothers? Ooh, we got something to change. See, we were made from love to love each other. In the name of love, we were meant to live together. It's time we took the time together, get to one another. Love gonna change the world for the better. When will we learn we're all sisters and brothers? Ooh, we got something to change. See, we were made from love to love each other. In the name of love, we were meant to live together. It's how we took the time together, give to one another. See, we were made from love, just you and me. See, we were made from love, just you and me. Ladies and gentlemen, we are to give love to one another. We were made from love to give love to one another. And when they see us and the way we love one another, they will be baffled at our ability to love one another in spite of our inadequacies. I want you to take love today and apply it, and it covers a multitude of sins. It will cover even the sick, sick, and sinful body. Yes, it will. And try forgiving someone today. Not because your religion told you to, because you know deep down inside of you, you know it's the right thing to do. So you must remember that Oromola knew our hearts before we were even born. When he shaped and molded us and sculptured us, he knew that we had love in us because he sculptured that love to be planted in us because it was the essence of God. I don't care what amount of religion you get or you obtain, you have the essence of God in you. You are made in God's image. There is nothing incomplete about you. How can you be expressing a disharmony when you are made in God's image and he is whole? So you say, well, Omi, we may have fallen out of fellowship. If you have the essence of God, then by all means, you have the power to love in the way that God loves. I mean, liken that into a ripple, into the wave of an ocean. You have that same essence in you, and your body can only be expressing a disharmony when God is whole and God is all. He is the all in all. And if you begin to realize you are a part of that speckle, a part of that ripple in the wave, then you will begin to step out on faith and do the things that God is now doing. Ye are God, little children, and ye have overcome them. It is now time to look upon your brothers and sisters and call them God. That's right, because you have the essence of God. And if you don't start doing the things that God calls you to, when will you start? This is a good enough time as any. Now, use love. It is a very powerful tool. It is the only tool that you can strike a blow with. You must remember that God did not create a foe out there against himself. He would not create an obstacle to come against him. There is but one force in this world, and that is love. But love can be utilized as evil. But God would not create a devil. We don't know of such a thing in the African race. So we don't fight against the devil. We fight against our own flesh and blood, which has enmity with the spirit. That is why you see the quarrels and the people that have odds against this world. They are fighting against their flesh. And if you had any sense, you would see that all men are good by nature, but their flesh becomes wicked, and that is what overtakes the body and attempts to destroy the spirit. So let us focus in on love today. And as we focus in on love, we will not give hatred and bitterness place in this society, because love will cover a multitude of sins, and love is much greater than hate. I want to thank you for going with us on that love walk today, ladies and gentlemen. Some of us needed that, and some of us need to know that we don't have to go in these rooms anymore and make a decision as to which religion they will embrace. Some of us don't have to say that we have become backslidden and we've decided to transition out of religion. We could say that because God lives in us, that we can say that we are born again, salubrious diversity. We're born again to our new black African culture because it is brand new to most of us. And some of us are just falling in love with our black selves and our culture. And there's nothing wrong with it. Yes, you're going to see some obsolete things that should be taken out of the culture. And that is the same way in religion. You just bridge the gap and you breathe those things out. But customs and traditions are needed in our family today. And we need those so we'll know how to base ourselves and how to dress and how to have decent and order as to how we present ourselves. It is not decent for a woman to be clothed from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. That is not in decent order. And if a man created that rule, then we should be working against it. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that a woman's beauty is her hair. So why is it covered? Why is it veiled from the top of her head? Some of these things are man-made and made up. Yes, you have to challenge them, but shut the door and go behind the door in your own religion and challenge them if there need to be change. But we got to stop wasting time and go forward in the spirit, because we're all prematurely undernourished and underage in the spirit. We are light years behind in the spirit. We should be farther along than what we are in the spirit. And when people start talking about ancestorship, they need to know what they're talking about. And ancestorship is not everyone that you speak of. You have immediate ancestors, and then you have your heroes and sheroes. And you have to understand why you're calling your ancestors to you. You're calling them to you to complete the family. Because as you remember, your family had a mission and a goal. And you had objectives that you were trying to achieve. And you're the sum total why they came to this earth. So you're calling them together so that you can make decisions and the families will be complete. You have to understand ancestral community is a lot different from Christianity or Islam. It's like none of those things. And you can be a spiritualist and still embrace a religion. However, I say we need to embrace spirituality first, because we are spending far too much time arguing about religion. And I'm not going to do it with anyone. I'm just not going to go back and forth word for what scripture is, line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm not going to do it, because the word God said will pass away. But see, spirit will never pass away. And all I ask you to do is learn about the spirit and get in the spirit, because there's where you do your work. You can transition. You can have an out-of-body experience. You can travel. You can learn of your other self and another world that you never heard of. It has nothing to do with what's going on down here. And I think you ought to challenge it. Take the challenge today, ladies and gentlemen, and look at something different than getting in these rooms arguing back and forth over what is righteous. We all know what is righteous, and we do know what is bad conduct. But if we're going to waste time talking about those few idiots in our organization who have fallen lower than the refugee, and you want to now try to vindicate them or chasten them, God said he would chasten the people. He said he would chasten our enemy. All we're going to do is stand by and watch God. And I'm not going to waste my time telling people what's right and what's wrong. They know what's right and what's wrong. So it's important for us to come in these rooms and open up the airways so the energies and the frequencies can flow. And there lies the healing that we're sending forth to heal a nation of people. And if you have the time, and if you feel that God can use you, then allow God to use your spirit, because he's looking for those powerful and mighty ones that he can work through. He wants to reveal himself to somebody today, but he can't do it without us lending our eyes shade to him. So I want to thank you today for going with me all the way. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like for you to stay tuned for station identification, and we're going to be right back at you in a second, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for going all the way with me today.
If you stay, stay, darling. You make me oh so proud. Stay, darling. To the world, I'd cry how I love you, honey. I love you.
Darling, when I may face that I need your love to sometimes comfort me.
Welcome back, family. And that's one of those old blasts from the past, Stay in My Corner. Some of us can remember that. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now going into the segment where we talk about family life education. And our topic is the challenge that caregivers face, those daycare workers and those behavior therapists, as well as the parents that they face and the impact that they have from working with a challenged child. In other words, working with a child that has a disability. What are some of the challenges, mothers, that you face when you are working with a challenged child that has various different disabilities, and you might be working and the challenge may be very difficult for you to prepare that child, to get that child up and ready before you leave for work? And what are some of the challenges that you face in clothing the child? Do you have the financial means to take care of that child? And are you getting any type of subsidy, financial subsidies? Now, if you're out there, mothers, and you have a special needs child and you faced challenges in the past and you wish you had had a safety net to assist you, call in. Our phone lines are now open at 646-478-0270. And mothers, you're not the only one that have a challenge with those children. Some of those behavior therapists and occupational therapists and physical therapists, they are to be applauded. They go into the schools and work directly with these children one-on-one. And sometimes they have a challenge lifting the child and moving the child and maneuvering the child around without a wheelchair. And in most cases, if that child is challenged, they have to do a lot to balance the child and get the child standing up for therapy. So there's a lot of challenges that goes on with the therapist. Now, for you mothers who are not connected to social services and you're not receiving any funds at all for your disabled child, then shame on you, because there's plenty of information throughout the school system that will let you know that there are assistance and services that will help you parents if you need them for your child. As a matter of fact, before you even leave the hospital, usually there's an orientation that's given to parents of special needs children as to the services that they can ascertain in the community and sometimes in the hospital. That's right, mother. Those services can be extended right there in the hospital. Now, it's very important to know that you don't have to be ashamed, mother, and you do not have to feel like you have to go at this alone. That is why you've been given the services in the hospital to tell you about the special needs department for early intervention. Those services start as early as from birth, and if the child is delivered with a deficit of some disability, immediately the social workers will make it very clear what services are available to you mothers. Now, mothers, you have to understand, if your child was diagnosed with AIDS, yes, that's nobody's business but yours, but it is important for you to make it known to the nurse when you enroll that child into a preschool or kindergarten setting. It's very important that you should inform the nurse of all the medical records and the condition and diagnosis that your infant has that may be disabled, because if that child goes into the classroom and if that child should have any type of fecal matter or have any type of sputum, then it's very important that that teacher knows how to handle that, the proceedings, so that she's not contaminating herself or anyone in the classroom. Now, it's very important, mothers, that when you come to these daycare centers, bring the child's records with them and make sure that the nurse that works in the school knows all about the conditions of that child. And if your child is wearing a tracheostomy and he has to have sputum suction from his trach as well as saline emptied into his tracheostomy periodically, now, mothers, you know that you are to clean those trachs and you are to keep that child's wound clean when he comes to school and bring enough changing material for him, such as gauze that he has to use and saline. It's important that you should come to the school and orientate the teachers and the nurses as to how they are to treat that wound. Don't just assume that they know because they're outside professionals. You've got to partner with those classroom teachers and with the nurses to let them know what kind of services your child needs. Now, once again, we're all advocates, and we've been called to be advocates for these children, but we certainly don't want to take on more responsibility than what we have to in these classrooms. We're there to teach, not to change tracheostomies or to change the child's gauze. We need to know when to send the child out to the nurse periodically to have that done. It's very important that teachers, if you are early intervention, why don't you call in? I'm an early interventionist specialist that works with birth to three children. who we are trained and orientated as if we're going to work into the hospital, because sometimes our children come to us as if they have prescriptions and all types of diagnoses that we have to, you know, make allowances for. Some of us may have worked in a hospital with those infants and toddlers, and we've worn both hats, because some of the teachers can wear the hat of the teacher as well as working with behavior therapy. Now, mothers, you don't have to be stressed out. The government has made allowances for you to also find employment within the government system if you have a special needs child. Now, also there are workshops that are offered throughout the year, and they're called a surrogate advocate workshops. And in some states, the parents can attend these workshops for a fee, and they're paid to go back and take these seminars and workshops. And most of them are going to make you become a better advocate so you can advocate and self-advocate for your child. So you teach the child to advocate for themselves. It's very important that we don't face these challenges by ourselves. It is a challenge when you have a special needs child, and you don't want to hide that and pretend that you can do everything, mother. You want to shift some of that weight over to the appropriate advocates who are making themselves available to you. And it's very, very important to know that mothers who have challenged children sometimes are very physically exhausted and mentally stressed out. So you need to find space in your day, mothers, to do special things for you and your significant other so that you are not burned out from working with special needs children, because you will become challenged and can become burned out if you don't take the appropriate sabbatical so that you can relieve yourself. Now, I know it's very difficult sometimes to leave these children with another child in the home or even another babysitter who is not familiar with the child's condition. That is why that there are new facilities cropping up all over to assist and aid in the babysitting aspect for mothers who have challenged children. And it's very, very important that mothers, that you understand you have to keep a pleasant disposition and take care of yourself, because if you don't, it won't be anybody there left to help you take care of the rest of the family. Now, mothers, if you're out there, why don't you pick up that phone line right now and call in. Call in and tell us about your challenges and about the things that you think you can offer to other people, and what advice would you give a mother who is feeling just overwhelmed and her back against the wall. What advice would you give her about taking care of challenged children? How would you advise her to get rest and to take the proper vitamins and food so that she's not burnt out? Call in and give us your experience and tell us about some of the things you've done. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for going with us on this particular part of the segment of the Talking Cure. We are a family and consumer science room, and we focus in on closing a gap of disparity. And Project 2019 underwrites us, and we believe that we are to do for self. We believe that there's no one that's going to help us but ourselves, and we can't wait for something or somebody to come out of the sky, that we're going to have to do what's right for African Americans. Now, African Americans, I'd like to speak with you. Yes, I know you have not had any help with your challenged child, and most of the time you would like to hide your child so nobody can see the fact that they have deformities, and you don't want anybody to know, and it's nobody's business but yours. But that's not true. That's why the government puts so much money into these AIDS groups and these agencies programs to assist you and to get the block grants back to you, mother, to help you. So you're going to have to do some exploring and research and find out what's out there and available to you. Do not close yourself up in the house and feel bad about your child and exclude your child from everything. Let your child go out and be a part of things and be a part of camp. There are special needs camps for children as well. And don't take your child and keep him away from the family because he's different. Include that child into activities for the family and let the family know what the disability is. Stop hiding it. It's not your fault, mother, and it's not your fault, father. So let them know what the child's condition is, and from time to time, ask them to come over so you can acquaint them more with how the child is progressing or how the child is faring, and ask them to help you with the child every now and then. We've got to come out of this nonsense that we're ashamed of our child. If we were given a special needs child and God asked us to raise that child, then that is a challenge in and of itself. But you better believe it's one that we can be blessed for once we put our time in and helping to rear that child. So mothers that are out there that are going to daycare for the first time, yes, your baby can read, and your child may have alcohol brain syndrome, and you don't want to tell anybody that he came here with that problem. You've still got to open your mouth and tell the nurse. And I didn't say tell the whole school. I said tell the nurse, because some of your information is privy, and it's only on a need-to-know basis for the nurse. You don't go spewing out all of your information to all of the school. And at the same time, stay in contact with the nurse. Visit the nurse periodically, update your records, come in and see the nurse. She is there to help you. Now, I want to say to you social workers that we have to be very, very careful that we're timely. When there's issues that happen in the home, and there's a lot of abuse when you have children with special needs in the home, and sometimes social workers have to be the first on the scene, and they also have to make sure that when something is reported that they've thoroughly look into it. There have been several children that have gotten molested and at home, and they brought the problem to school with them and wanted the social worker to handle it. And sometimes it's been a little difficult for the social worker to want to be the first one to report. And you know that teachers have to report abuse, any type of potential abuse that they notice in a child, any male treatment, they have to report it. And they have to report it promptly to the social worker and the nurse. And those are our reasonable service and duty. So we have to be good stewards and knowing what to do. We don't cover up things because mother said, well, if I get one more complaint, they're going to take my child. And you think you're doing that mother some good by not telling the proper authorities, then you could be getting yourself in trouble and jeopardizing your job. It's very important that we do the right thing when we're handling procedures. Procedures are important, and we have to follow through, teachers, social workers, and also paraprofessionals, those advocates. We have to follow through. Now, let me go to station identification. Now, I'll be right back at you in the air for 1 second here, and we're going to see what we can put on for you in a minute. If you just stay tuned, we want to bring the best of the best to you. If you don't mind. Thank you. right, family, we're back, and we're in this room talking about the challenges that mothers and behavior therapists, social workers, as well as child care workers. Now, let me focus a little bit on the child care workers, because they seem to be the most underpaid and the most overworked. But they're the most important line of command for that child, because sometimes that child care worker is not trained in working with special needs children. And they do their very best, and they do a great job, and I want to commemorate them. And they are oftentimes mother and therapist, and they are not acknowledged for the work they do. So I'd like to say, daycare workers, I'd like for you to spend more money on training your early childhood teachers to become a special ed expert at working with the special needs early intervention. Do some in-servicing. Bring in training and development to give them the various different trainings that they need to better acquaint them with the services that they can provide for their special needs child. They're doing an awful lot, and you're not able to pay them for it, but you could exchange the favor of the good work by offering them additional training classes. They are certainly in deserving of it. I know those child care workers are out there. If you are and you want to blow up my phone, go right ahead and blow it up. I want to give you the challenge of coming in to talk about how does your day go when you're working with a challenged child and you don't have the staff and your ratios are not right. I know exactly what you're talking about because I've been in some of those rooms with you managing and developing the ratio so that you are not overburdened with those special needs children. Now, it is a challenge, I know. So, therefore, you have to go back to school, child development teachers. You have to go back and not only stop with your CDA. You need to go back and get your specialty in early childhood special ed. And some of you may even want to go back and get your bachelor's degree and own your own facility. Go ahead on, little sister. Go ahead and own the whole thing. If you put in 15, 20 years in a child care center and you know how it's ran from the inside out, you deserve to go back and get your credentials and own your own piece of the child care industry. That's right. And don't think that these are small things, because there's government money that's now being put aside for those CDA credentials as well as those associate degree, those bachelor's, and then the master's. Now, if you're courageous enough, go ahead on and get the PhD if you think that's what you ought to be doing. But in the meantime, don't tie yourself down in that classroom and never go back to school. Go back to school and get those credentials, because that's the only way you're going to be recognized and pushed up the ladder. Now, and I say pushed up the ladder because there's a few good teachers out there that are always pushing and mentoring those teachers to go ahead on, little G, and get that piece of paper. And I'm saying this to you because I know you're challenged. Sometimes you're beside yourself, you're bewildered, and you're burned out. Take those vacation days when you see fit. I didn't say abuse those days. Take your vacation days and do something very special for yourself. And even invite those mothers in and do something special for those challenged mothers who have special needs children where they have become burnt out from caring as a caregiver. Do something special for those mothers as well as those providers, directors, because these people are the little people no one recognizes, and they do need to be applauded. So I'm going to play a special song for them because I know they're winners. Are y'all ready? Come on in here, winners, and take a seat. We want to acknowledge all of you caregivers who are helping these
people. Y'all ready?
Are you ready? Come on. You know you winners, don't you? You're the first line of command.
Say yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be giving all of the parents and the caregivers a standing ovation for all the work that they do with these challenged children. Give yourself a hand, mother, because you're moving on up. Yes, you are. Now, ladies and gentlemen, why don't we get ready to go right into Always Sisters, Always Friend, and we must have hypnotized those men last time because we had them at attention. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today about the individual with disabilities. How do we handle the society that has disabilities? How do we utilize the opportunity to give them assistance and be a resource and referral for them? Wait just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be going right into that topic in a second. Stay tuned for station identification, and we're playing Hypnotize.
Just one little look into your eyes.
Yes, that's what those men were saying last time we got off the line with them, with these Always Sisters, Always Friends. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another day of Always Sisters, Always Friends. Now, this topic is on a serious note, ladies and gentlemen. We don't use the word handicap anymore because we all know that we all can be handicapped to a certain degree. The appropriate word is disability. And nowadays you run into so many people that are considered as disabled. And we have to know how to approach them, especially there are more men being diagnosed with a disability, and especially young boys. Now, how does mothers handle these young boys who don't want to be in special ed and who don't want the label attached to them? Now, mothers, I know that some of you are running in there to those Social Security office to get those checks because you certainly do want those dollars and cents to come to you in the mail. Now, please, mothers, please don't go and get these children falsely diagnosed just so you can get a check. I hate to see, and I pity the fool that would put their child up and offer their child up to become a child with a mental disability just to receive a Social Security check. Now, there's many ways of getting income in, and one of those is called working. And I hope that you're not afraid of a good day's work, because there's certainly jobs now in the government that they will offer parents who have disabled children to work in the government system. Now, we've got to stop thinking that somebody owes us something and that our hands are always open and that we need to get paid. When you get paid is when you work to the sweat of your brows. And don't be afraid of hard work, mother, and teach your disabled child to find some work that they can do, because work is honorable. Now, I want to speak to some of you mothers out there who think that your child can't do anything through school, and when they transition out of high school into the workforce, you bring them home and let them sit with you. Mothers, you've got to let those young boys go and get a work permit and go to work. And there is something that they can do in spite of the fact that they're disabled. You can help them to learn trades through going through programs that will give them practical skills so they can learn to work. There's a large percent of over 60% of disabled youth who cannot find employment. There are jobs that they can do. Please don't turn your head up and think that that child shouldn't do work. And that child could also transition to go to college. There are now programs that will help you mothers to get those children enrolled in college campuses so they could go to college. Make sure, though, your child has a proper transition plan in their file before they transition out of high school. Start showing that child how to self-advocate for him or herself, and showing him how to be assertive so he can speak up when they need him to speak on behalf of his rights. And tell the child that they have rights, and show them how to advocate, and be a good role model mother to show the child how to advocate. Now, stay tuned for station identification.
It's DA.
On the track, man.
Oh, yeah. About to close, so tell me what's gonna happen. Am I going with you? How you coming with me? My girl's not around, and your man just set you free. Baby, I'm your destination. You're my destiny.
Going in circles, oh, round and round I go.
got me going in circles.
Welcome back, family, and we are now in the room with Always Sisters, Always Friends, and we've been talking about dealing with the disabled individual. We've been talking about the disabled student transitioning out of high school into the workforce, and what do we do when we have a student that wants to go off to college, and he has always been in special ed. Don't the parents know that there are counselors that can help you and aid you and assist you with the kind of services that are available for those individuals with disabilities? Now, there are some laws, of course, parents, that you should become accustomed to, and that's the 94-142, the IDEA law, and the articles of and the articles also, in some states, it's Article 11. And depending on which state you're in, these are services that will actually spell out all of the rights that your child has. Now, there's also something called the individual plan, the IEP, that must be written into the child's folder. Now, parents, here's where you can get involved. You can help that child write their individual plan and put goals and objectives in there that are obtainable and reachable for your youngster, and help your youngster give input as to what they think those goals should be, or she thinks. Now, we also want to make sure that those IEPs are revisited every 2 years, and that every young child at the age of 14 has a transition plan and is able to transition out into the community with a plan of some sort that they hope to achieve. Now, mothers, you don't do all the advocating for your youngsters. You teach them to self-advocate for themselves. Disability doesn't mean that you are unable to speak and name and define for yourself. It means that you have a disability, a challenge. Some area of your life is challenged. Doesn't mean that you've lost all faculties. You still can do some work. Now, mothers, if you're getting welfare checks and Social Security checks for your children and they have asthma, then all means take your children to the doctor. Let them get proper treatment and put them on the proper meds so that they are trying to adjust to living with a respiratory problem. Some children have atopic problems that go along with that, and they're disabled. They're classified as disabled. And then there are children who don't have visible signs where you can't see the disability and the aesthetics part. And mothers, you have to be aware that you have to teach your children how to carry themselves and how to conduct themselves as a disabled child. They are not to respond to every one of the remarks or these people who might be challenging them to a fight because they're different and that they function different. Disabilities can come in all sizes and in all forms, and we're all challenged to a degree or another. So we have to explain to our children that they don't fight at the drop of the hat just because someone is sounding off about their disability. Then that's an opportunity for them to educate other people on the things that they don't know about the disability. Challenge children are doing some great things right now, ladies and gentlemen. Some of these challenge children are becoming advocates. They're traveling abroad and all over the world. I remember doing a workshop or symposium on those challenge children who are going abroad and who are becoming stakeholders in the profession of disability. And they're speaking out radically on the causes of disabled people who are furthermore discriminated in society, and they're standing up and their voices are being heard. And that is something that they're working very hard to bring radical movement to these youngsters speaking up on behalf of the challenged generation. And they are also challenging the system to allow them to go to various foreign places and to speak up on behalf of foreigners. So it's very important, mothers, that you let your children that are disabled get involved in radical movements and learn about the struggle, because the civil rights is a part of where the disability rights come in at. They must understand that they're part of the system and they must be able to function radically to make change. Do not shelter their mothers and hide them away. Let them come and be heard, and let their voices be heard, and let them step forward to model good advocacy. And on that note, mother, I want you to understand that you could further advocate for your child being normal and stop pressing that child to feel different and lest they become an outcast. You want your disabled children to have a place in society and feel needed and wanted. And what better place to feel needed and wanted when they're advocating on behalf of the rights of others who have lost their voice? Let them be a voice for others. It's very good for youngsters to become radical in a movement that's going to change the world. We need more radical movers. I didn't say people who are strapping bombs to their neck and that are killing themselves and on suicide missions. I'm talking about radical in the sense that you're speaking out against injustice on behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves. Now, on that note, I want you to know, advocates, that you must learn to self-advocate for yourself and that your mother cannot always advocate for you. And mothers, don't do all the advocating. Role model and do a good job and step aside and let your youngster advocate on behalf of himself and others. It's very important that we understand that advocacy means that we show others how to do it and we step aside and let them do the challenging part. It's a challenging experience to be disabled in the first place. It's even more challenging when you don't have a voice to speak out. So now that you know that you have a voice, use it and speak out against any injustice that's done to any challenged person. It's an injustice to all people. Let's go to station identification, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned.
Close your eyes.
Close your eyes.
Take a deep breath. Open your
love me,
love me,
love me,
love me,
love me.
love me.
I love you, darling, with all my heart and soul.
Welcome back, family, and you have your Omeika 7 here live in the Care to Read room. I am your advocate, the one you need, and I am your advisor, the one you want. I'm here to serve you. I am your infra. Once again, we'd like to welcome those newcomers in the room. We've been talking about always sisters, always friends, and working with individuals with disabilities and how to advocate for them and how they can advocate for themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to take you right into our segment where we talk about our health alert. And today's topic for the health alert is talking about what are the emotional health red flags for individuals that might be abused, those infants. What are some of the telltale signs that will tell us that we are to be alert that that child is being abused? Now, you can call in. Those phone lines are now open for those parents that would like to call in. This is our health alert segment, and during this health alert segment, you can call in to talk about children that might be in your classroom, teachers, that you suspect that might have been abused. Now, what are some of those red flags that are going up that will tell you that something's going on with those children? Number one, maybe the child never wants to dress out for gym and take their clothes off, never want to be seen unrobed or disrobed, and always has a self-esteem problem, low self-esteem, and doesn't feel worthy. Someone that walks around jumping and jerking as if someone is going to attack them. Some of the telltale signs might even be that the child may not want to play, may not want to interact, and may become very serious-minded. Now, the red flag should go up and tell the teacher that I ought to send that child to the nurse to be examined to see if that child is physically fit to be in a classroom. Because some children come to school and they're not physically fit. Sometimes they can be lethargic and hungry from not eating and famished. And those are also telltale signs that they're not properly being fed at home, and that children who come to school asking for other children's lunch all the time and who appears to never have a lunch to eat and who's always trying to borrow money for food. Those are some telltale signs that you might notice, or if the child has burns on their face or their body parts and that they're covering it up all the time. And they want to appear to be normal with the rest of the group, but the group kind of shies away from them because they think that they're different and something's wrong. Now, it is our obligation to report any abuse that might be going on in that child's life, and we must go through the proper channels to report that. And it's very important that we also contact a nurse so the nurse can contact the proper authorities in the social services setting. Now, mothers know that social services will call them in and they will challenge them to losing their parental rights if that mother or father has been abusing that child. It is our obligation as first point of contact to report any potential abuse in that child. And those red flags are sometimes obvious in the classroom. But when we're out with the children's social worker, you have to observe those things as well and report them. Because children cannot be continually abused. Somebody must come in to intervene on their behalf to save them. And we are going to be those heroes, whether you like it or not, social workers and occupational therapists, physical therapists. We have to be those heroes to rescue those infants and toddlers and elementary school children, too. It's important that somebody has to tell on somebody. And children, it's okay for you to tell an adult that somebody has been abusing you physically, mentally, morally, and also psychologically, because children can be psychologically abused without anyone putting their hands on them. The scolding and yelling and all of the high frequencies can affect the child's life as well. Even in the womb, someone can be abusive to an infant in the womb and cause side effects for that child. Now, these alerts sometimes can be false, and we have to be careful that we are not jumping the gun and falsely accusing someone of children being injured. But it's very detrimental for those infants who cannot speak for themselves. We cannot speak too soon because most of those children are not scalding themselves. They're not falling into an iron. Somebody usually is doing it to them. So we have to be mindful of the fact when it comes to an infant, too long because that infant could be injured. Let's go to station identification, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back at you in the air.
Well, Mother is a message. Got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Welcome back, family. And you've got your Omi Inca 7 live here in the studio talking to you about helping babies from the bench. And we're going to be on this topic until the end of this month. And we're going to be talking from a general perspective of a specialist. And I am a specialist in the area of early intervention, preschool, kindergarten, K through 9. My main focus is on the family and the infant and toddler. Now, I chose to do this topic because I wanted to get out as much information as I can on the subject. We don't always have guests in this room, and sometimes people are so tied up that they just can't come. However, we have been working with Junior Achievement to come into our room to talk to us about the variety of specialities that they have in the area of training and development. And one of them was that we talked about earlier was financial literacy. And they're going to be focusing in on talking about the Junior Achievement candidate developing their own entrepreneurism and business and developing a business plan. And they're going to be breaking down how our children in a community can get connected to Junior Achievement for free. Isn't that nice, ladies and gentlemen? They don't even have to pay. It's for free. And the curriculums are available too. So hopefully next week we're going to be talking with them. Until then, you're going to have your sweet, sweet Omi talking to you. And I'm coming to you live this evening. Welcome back again, once family. We're talking about the health alert of the child. How do we report abuse to the school system? How do we report abuse to the social services? And when is it too early to jump the gun? And for infants, should we always be advocating on the best interest of the infant to prevent that child from being completely abused and intervening before it could be too damaging? Now, I want to say that there are a lot of alerts and telltale signs that can be misconstrued sometimes, so we don't want to jump the gun. We want to make sure we have all of our facts together before we go in to bring charges or indictments on any parent that possibly could be abusing a child. Now, parents, I want to talk to you for a minute. Can I come into your bedroom? I want to seriously talk to you about the fact that the lives that you've been entrusted with, these little precious little gems that have been entrusted for you to mold and to shape, have been given to you temporarily on loan. So you have got to make it up in your mind that the way that God gave that child to you, He has told you to do no harm. Do no harm to leave the child whole the way that it was given to you. You are to enhance the child's life and to broaden the child's horizon, not to destroy and stagnate the child. If you or your husband, or if you're allowing someone to abuse a child that's in your care and you are not doing anything about it, you're as good as being guilty yourself. If you know of someone that is abusing your child and you don't know how to stop it, take the necessary steps to go and get help for yourself and that child and get away from that situation. Do not allow your children to be abused, and don't give your child to your significant others to satisfy them while you sit and cry and say there's nothing you can do. There is something you can do. You can stop that from happening in your household, and you can intervene and be the bigger person and speak against it. And foster parents, If you are taking these children just for another cent in your pocket and another dollar in your wallet, and you don't care anything about these children, and you're allowing these children to be abused, or you're abusing them yourself, woe unto you. I say you should step aside and give the child up and give the child back. Do not continue to take children that you don't have time for and that you feel you can't control yourself against abusing them. It is high time we stop putting these children into the settings to further allow them to be abused, because it's necessary that everyone cannot be a caregiver. Somebody has to go back to school and learn a trade and understand what parenting skills are. And everybody that births a child in this world is not always a mother. There has to be some training, time, and developing of that parenting skill so that it is set in concrete so that they are not going to abuse a child and inappropriately give the child services that are not appropriate for the child's age. Now, I want us to be able to cohesively work as a team, a male-adjusted team, social workers and paraprofessionals, as well as you behavior therapists. You ought to be working with your local court system to talk to them about what is best practices for the infants and toddlers, and let them know that you are an expert in that field if you're a child development specialist. Now, one of the things I want us to understand is that we got to see the tattletale signs. We can't ignore the red flags when they go up. And we're going to have to fill out some paperwork, and we're going to have to get involved if that child is in our care. Do not sweep it under the rug. It is not right, and you will be called on it eventually. Now, the red flags go up, and that means that we have to be alert to what the red flags are. I'd like to thank you so much for being a part of our health awareness segment of the show. Our in-house resident, Jamel Harvey, has been gone on sabbatical for a while, and I've been having to carry the load. I hope you don't mind that I am not a naturopathic doctor, but I'm bringing it to you and giving you the best that I've got. Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get ready to take a ride out of here because our time is almost up. But we have a few more minutes, and we want to just pinpoint again that we're always sisters, always friends. And in that segment, I want to invite some of my girlfriends in to come in and talk about relationships. We do periodically talk about our men and what we are to do about our men. We just went through a segment where we had the second time around where women were taking back their men for the second time and trying to dust off those problems and to reiterate what was good about the relationship and to keep on pushing on. And I want to say this to those women out there who are having to deal with the second time around with their significant other or their husband. Give it a try. Yes, it might be hard, but I tell you, it's a lot easier functioning with the devil you know than the devil you don't know, because it is a difficult thing dating these days and meeting new people and spending time with people that you are not accustomed to. It's very important to go back to old habits, but you got to correct some of those old habits when you go back to those relationships, and you got to make a change for the better. And you got to say, for the benefit of our family and our children, we're going to try to make this thing work out. And that's what we did. We talked about it last week, and we'll be talking about it again in the classroom of Always Sisters, Always Friends. But we want to let those men out there know that we love them dearly, and we stand behind them, and that we were made for the man. We know we were made for the black man, and there's no two ways about it, and I'm not going to sit here and say anything other than that we were created for our black men, and we must go and get our black men, and the black men must go and get their black women, and they must embrace them, and they must tell them they're sorry, and they must also say, can I start again? And women, we've got to be careful to give them another chance to say, yes, you can. And if they come to you wholeheartedly wanting to change their life and the way that they do business with you, give them another chance. I didn't say forget what they did in the past. I said give them another chance. You don't want to forget, for less you will repeat the same idiosyncrasy again. But you certainly want those men to go in for therapy and get some help. Let them go over there to the preacher or the priest and let them talk to them on a daily basis and tell them that this is your therapeutic work that you're getting done individually, and I can go in with you if you like, or we can do it as a group. But get some help, whatever you do. Don't keep living in darkness and stupidity. Find a way to get some help. It's never too difficult to get therapeutic counseling from somebody that loves you or care about you, or even somebody that can see the good in you and want you to have the best. Now, don't go skipping into glory thinking that everybody loves you who has no vested interest in you, and you find yourself wasting your money going to therapy because a person cannot even see you as being a human being. You don't want to waste your time doing that, but we certainly want to get some help. We want to ask an opinion of our loved ones and those who spend a lot of time with us. If they care about us, ask them their opinion. And if they're not experts, so what? Sometimes confide in others about your relationship, the ones that you know have a vested interest. Now, we'll be back here again tomorrow talking about Always Sisters, Always Friends. Now, this is our last week for Working with Babies from the Bench. Now, those two ladies that are supposed to speak, even if they have to come back later and speak, but they should be giving me a call hopefully before the end of this week so we can get them in here. And then our junior achievement people are also coming right behind them. And then, ladies and gentlemen, as I told you, we're going to a brand new segment of working with quantum jumping and understanding out-of-body experiences, sending energy, using our skills as a priestess, because some of us are letting our skills lay dormant and we're not talking about them, we're not using them to heal other people. So we wanted this room to be a sanctuary, somewhere you can come and get pure healing, radiated healing through energy. We wanted this to be a room where you could meditate whenever you got ready to sit and to count breaths. We wanted this to be a place where you could come and get fed. So we are going to get back on track to focus in on self-help. And that this next month is all self-help. I'll be talking to you about some of the tapes that I have and lyrics that I have written from the right side of my brain just from meditating. I'll be talking to you about how you too could meditate and can write and have God give you the words to write down. We're going to be talking about clairvoyant things in here and synchronicity, and how you can look at your zodiac sign to see what's your best mate and how to collaborate with those fire signs and those water signs and earth signs and get an understanding who's your best mate. Not just your soulmate, but who's your best mate? Who are the ones that you can collaborate with? And as we look at the priesthood, how does the priest act in a community? How does she use her gifts for healing? And how does she understand that her job is to train society on having a better life and a quality of life and to develop self-help tools that they can help their family with? That's what this room is all about, developing self-help tools for mind, body, soul, and spirit to help you and to sustain you so that we can pull our own bootstraps up and we can do it for ourselves. But we can't get to heaven by ourselves. And that's one thing I want you to know. God said when you get ready to go to heaven, you got to take somebody with you. Therefore, we're trying to work towards everyone getting to heaven. There will be no Caucasian heaven and no black heaven. We're all going to go to a paradise together. And if I help you get to heaven, sister, you got to help me get to heaven. And it makes for a better society. So white folks, don't be trying to run to get to heaven before we get there. Try to make room for all of us to get into that paradise so that we can become whole together. If I better myself, Caucasian, I have to work towards bettering you and your race of people too. So we're not in here just so that the African Americans could do well and the hell with everybody else. No, that's not what we're about. We're about the universe balancing itself to do well all around the kingdom. And because we are mammals, the mammal in us say that we have the capability of loving and the capability of having empathy for others and being able to see the weakness in others and extending an open hand and not a closed fist. So therefore, we are not preaching racism in this room. We're preaching liberalism, and we're preaching embracing one another. But we must stay to our own culture, because I do believe that God called us to our own culture and to our own heritage. But we must respect all of those other various different nationalities and races. But as we better ourselves, we help them to better themselves. But we must understand, Caucasian, you cannot continue to undermine the African American and to want less for them than you want for yourself, because we have extended an open hand to you to help you up the ladder to the tree of life of spirituality. You must strive to help others around you, be it that they're black, dark, jet black, you are to help them. It is your inalienable right, so that we all make it to this place called Ile Ife. Not at the same time, but if we all make it to that kingdom, so that we can live in harmonious behaviors in a society that is rich, that is not only rich in money, but is rich in quality of life. And that is what we're preaching in this room, a good quality of life. And as we look at Iwapelu, and as we look at good consciousness, we stay in the conscious spirit, where we always are meditating and pressing God forward in our lives, so that God will show up in our lives and you will begin to see the Godhead in me. And I'll begin to look more and more like God, and you begin to have the Shekinah glory all over you as you begin to press your Godhead forward. Remember, your God is not my God. The God that lives on the inside of us is the God that works feverishly and collaborates with each individual to help them to become more like God. Now, we know that God is a manifestation, and that there are three great manifestations of God, and that they're ratified and potent and full of energy, and we couldn't come in their presence if we wanted, because we would be combusted, full of fire and explosive all over the place, because they're so ratified and potent. But there is a God that we can interact with, and that is Ori and Oludulamare. They have the issues and the concerns of man, but the true creator, who has a manifestation of three manifestations of God, does not have issues and concern with man's affairs. And once we begin to understand that, we'll begin to understand that the trees are connected to us, that the universe is connected to us, and that the forest is connected to us. We are connected to nature, and we are part of nature. And we must understand that the universe must be balanced again. And the only way the universe can be balanced again, we must talk about metaphysics things. We must talk about when we're in the spirit. We must talk about when we transition our energy level and our frequencies, and we take that energy and lift other people's spirit and let their spirit soar, so that we can take our virtue and heal others who are low of spirit. So remember that, because we're only particles and spirits, we have to continue to love one another, so that as we love one another, we'll learn to love ourselves. And then they will see the way we love one another, and they'll say, oh, look at the way they love one another. They will know us by the way we love one another, that we are followers, and that we are missionaries, and that we are disciples, that we have been all encompassed of many things that are traveling this earth to get the news that he has risen in you and I. There is no God or Jesus coming out of the sky. That God and Jesus is in you and I. We must press him forward. And every day that we go through circumstances, and every day that we embrace life with the challenges, we press God forward in our lives. He shows up as we become embedded or involved with friction. We push God forward, and God begins to show up in you and I. This is the only God that we're ever going to see, is the Godhead within us. Go ahead and press your God forward. I'd like to see him tomorrow, bright and early, as you come back to join me. So we'd like to thank you for being a part of our show this evening, and we say God be with you. And please find somebody you can show favoritism to, and go out and lift up someone's spirit today. I send my energy to heal you today, and may the frequency waves come through the airwaves and begin to heal you and lift you out of your dead state. And I say, to God be the glory. Oh, double, and we've got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. See you tomorrow. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I hope he got justice. Thank you so very much for joining me. And we will see you again on tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. So please do join us in the Care to Read Room. You've been a joy to work with, and so have your youngsters. And make sure you go out and do something special for those individuals with disability. And we say that you can be an advocate. So why